talk about?
I don't know, GameCube.
That's my impression of us.
Xbox.
That does sound like us.
That's what we talk about.
The original Xbox?
Yeah, oh, the first Xbox.
That could be fun. So let's try, it would be like,
oh, remember the big controller? What a fuck up.
Mm-hmm. And we could, like, complain. We basically, what I think about us is we just complain about old, inconsequential shit.
Remember brute force?
Is this it?
I don't know. Maybe, yes, sure. Let's do that. Yes.
Hi, welcome to Cool Games Inc., a video game design podcast from Polygon.com and the Vox Podcast Network. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
I thought I might catch you there. Put my name on yours. Mm. We'll see. I'll get you one of these days, Gadget.
How are you doing, Griffin McElroy?
I'm glad you fucking asked, because I ate a big old basket of fish and chips.
Oh, London, England.
Well, it's Austin, and I went to lunch with Rachel, and I ate a big basket
of
fish and chips.
Queen of England,
you know.
And I was in England, fine. And I gotta say, all that greasy grease has me feeling a little lugubrious.
Well, that could be fun. It slicks you up, makes you sort of a slippery. Podcaster in a way that
and don't
might
get
be nice.
Yeah, my mouth and throat, and that's where the podcast comes out of. Mm-hmm. Real slick.
The words
real
are just sliding out like
oily. Mm. It's like a fun ride for these words and thoughts. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just ate a big old basket of broccoli.
The opposite of what I did.
Sort of the opposite. And there was some chicken strips in there, but they were sort of dusted with some sort of root and some sort of coconut or almond flour. So it was sort of a low-carb alternative to the more slimy chicken breast that you might experience at an Austin fish and chip parlor.
Food is so weird, man, right? Mm,
sure thing.
There's a lot of it different.
Now, elaborate on that for me.
Do you want me to name all the different kinds of food?
Yeah, just if you could just name a few, just to illustrate your point.
I mean, we'll start hamburgers. Sandwiches.
Okay, so far you're not illustrating the variety that well because you named.
Oh, you're right. I'll start over.
Yeah,
hamburgers.
Right.
Hot dogs.
I see. Okay, that's a lot like hamburgers. So I feel
I'll
like
start
I
start over. I'll start
I,
over.
You know
I'll
what it is? Over. Is it's a time pressure thing? If you need a minute to think of two different types of food.
All right.
But don't rush into it. We can always edit it later if you need to like think. For
I'll
a while.
Do it. I'll okay. do it. Hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Yes.
I can't think of another food, Nick. I swear to God, I've been sitting here.
What
thinking.
About? This is easy. Just do like if you go to Wendy's, you could order
hot dogs.
Hot dog. Well, yeah, you could get a double cheeseburger. I guess that's just kind of hamburger.
We did
though.
It again. So cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
What's another food, Nick? Now I'm freaking out.
They okay? Are there other foods? I'm stumped.
I said sandwiches, right?
Yeah, you did sandwiches, but
Nick, why can't I think of a food that's not a hot dog, sandwich, or hamburger?
It's like that episode of Men in Black, the animated series, where that guy gets erased and all disappears.
They,
all the,
those devils.
They've done it again. What about
they
a double stack?
Double stacks. That's a
Big Mac. Is a Big Mac a different?
Whopper, Big and Tasty. Mm. We're just, it's all different burgers.
Big and Junior.
Oh, Nick.
What?
Apple.
Apple's one. Apple's one.
Jesus, let's not try this anymore. I think we're good.
We should focus on what we're good at.
Hamburgers, hot
which
dogs.
Which is Xbox
apples.
Jokes.
Hamburgers, hot dogs, apples. What was the other one? The one I just said. Nick!
You did Apple before that?
So let's do a games together.
Mm.
Can we start with this first one from Obi-Tron Kenobi, who says, "It's not you, it's a me, Mario, a Super Mario Brothers dating sim."
Okay.
When people talk about the video game characters that they would love to
do kiss and do hug from,
and maybe it's not all sexual, maybe they just want to have like a deep, long-lasting, intimate friendship,
supportive,
with,
yeah.
It's always Sonic, isn't it? They're always talking about the Sonic characters that they want
to. It tends to be the, you know, you got your Rouge the Bats or your Amy Roses, your Miles Tails Prowers of the world.
To be fair, there is no Mario character named Cream. That's just it. And so I would love to explore that a little bit more. Like, I would love to, like, Nick, kissing a dry bones. Yes or no?
I'm going to have to throw some, I'm going to have to slather that guy in chapstick to get any mileage there.
To get any traction, yeah.
To get any traction, yeah, because it would just be, I feel like it would be a one-sided moisture affair in terms of he would be, do you think when, this is a stupid question, so forgive me.
It's no stupid question, it's only stupid actors.
Okay, good. So, with that said, do you think when Dry Bones gets a boner, it makes that xylophone noise when he comes back to life after you jump on him? It goes like, you know that, and it'll like.
Yeah.
Does that sound happen? Does that sound play, I guess? Out of his whole
dry
skeletal.
Hog.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't say, I mean, the rest, just let's be scientific.
Mm-hmm.
If the rest of his bones make that noise.
Why wouldn't his bone, his
thingy bone.
His wing wong. How did dry bones get made?
Is another point. So I think the magic Koopas have something to do with it. I think there's probably like a necromantic situation happening there. And a lot of people look at dry bones and they think, what a fun character. I can't wait to jump on them and then make that fun noise when they pop back up. I look at it and I say, that's a dead Koopa that it shouldn't be. It's an abomination. Mm-hmm. It's an affront to God and Jesus. And so I don't know that I would kiss it. I don't know I would kiss a dry bones.
There's that guy Dry Bowser.
What's his whole story?
So in Super Mario 3D Land, the 3DS one, the boss battle is,
that's a dead Bowser, huh?
It's if you're fighting a dead Bowser.
That's right. He dies. He falls in the lava and is destroyed, as lava is wont to do to any flesh having person.
Mm-hmm. Takes all the skin away. So does that mean that Super Mario 3D Land is like the last one, like chronologically in the series, because you're fighting a dead Bowser? Like, is it like a Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift situation where the timeline is maybe non-linear?
Oh, I see.
And also, why is he in Mario and Sonic of the Olympic Games? That seems unfair.
Yeah, he should be dead.
Unless
that's not Bowser.
Let's get back to what we were talking about, which
was Anton Apollo-Ono trying to dip his beak in the summer games by dressing up as a big Bowser in his skin.
That would be a fun reveal. I didn't beat it. I didn't 100% Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games, so I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but I reckon that's the type of twist that they did at the end. Griffin, what were you were saying a thing about want to kiss a Sonic and do a spin
dash? I'm saying if we didn't. Mm-hmm. And did Mario instead. So, I mean, there's lots of kiss abilities, right? Like, I'm looking at the whole Mario Kart 8 roster and go for it. But it's a dating game. And based on the title, I also think it's a breaking up game. Do a lot of dating games have breaking ups?
I don't think they do. I think you get the kiss and then you get the achievement and then you shut down your computer.
All right.
Because it's over. So we're kind of exploring a more interesting side of it.
So the game opens up, and there's obviously a rift between me and Wiggler. And you can tell Wiggler's angry because it's big and red, and there's steam coming out of it.
Yes.
Because that's what happens to Wiggler when it takes damage.
Right, and emotional or physical, I would imagine.
Yeah. And so Wiggler comes to you one day, and it's not big and red anymore. It's like, oh, have you finally calmed down? I told you, they're just a friend. And Wiggler says, like, no, this has just made me realize that, you know, if that's immediately where I, Wiggler, went to, then, like, maybe there's a bigger problem here that we're not addressing.
Right.
And then Wiggler, you notice in the corner, Wiggler's got their little flower that goes on his head all packed up.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, Wiggler, hold on. Come on. Over this? And Wiggler says, like, I need to do something for me for once.
This takes some time to think.
I need you to be mature about this for once in your life. And then I'm like, oh, it's back to this, huh?
We could do a fun thing where there's sort of a he loves me not thing with the flower on his head. Like, we could have one of the petals fall off when the relationship starts to decline, and maybe that could be a fun visual metaphor. So the second time you play through, you notice, oh, Nick and Griffin put a lot of work into the Wiggler dating situation. You know who I want to date and then eventually break up with?
Who's that?
King Caliente. he's a big orange hot lava octopus from Mario Galaxy, and he's like, you do like, he kind of spits coconuts at you. It's kind of an Octorok vibe to the whole thing.
Okay.
I want to be him love and hang out in his lava pit and hang out with him with his crown off, and if you know what I'm saying.
I'd love to kiss Wart from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah?
But it's just a dream. That's a sad one, because you date, and maybe you're not going to break up, but then you don't break up, you wake up.
So maybe at the end of that arc, and don't listen to this episode if you don't want spoilers for the game that we're working on, but like maybe you at the end of that arc, you break up and it was just a dream, but you're in your apartment and there's photos of you and Wart everywhere, and you are no longer together. So Wart's existence wasn't a dream, but your relationship being intact was, you know?
Man, dude.
It's kind of cool.
That's cool, and it's cool and it's dramatic, but mm-hmm. sad. How about another one?
Sure. Do you want one from me?
Yeah, did you submit one?
Uh-huh. Here it comes. I thought of it. This one comes from Nick Robinson in San Francisco, California. And it's another Nintendo one, so get ready. It's, what if Kirby was square instead circle?
Who said, oh, you're actually doing this?
This is me. I just did this one just now.
All right.
Square Kirby.
You've just fucking described stone Kirby sliding down the hills and stuff. So
this one is, he's square, and
when
he turns into stone Kirby, he gets circle. And so it's kind of a fun.
All right.
Rolls down a hill. You can imagine how that would work.
So what are you doing? Are you holding down buttons? And
it's a one button platformer, like that game Super Meat Boy Forever that still isn't out. And your Kirby, he's walking to the right, and all you're doing is, by holding down your finger on the screen, you're turning him into a stone circle, and he roll around.
I don't know that that's going to be as good as any of the Kirby games have ever been.
Well, it's going to be better than the stupid drawing one.
Excuse me.
That game is...
Pardon me.
That game no good.
Canvas Curse is extremely.
I hate
good.
Canvas Curse, and I know.
Oh, that's weird that you said that, because it's fucking amazing.
It's
what
no
the
fun.
Fuck are you
it's
talking
like,
about?
I don't. I know. I've been dealing with this for 10 years. It just doesn't feel like a fucking Kirby game. Is the only problem. It's a scribble, draw a big loop de loop.
Yeah, I know, and I
that's
love how
Kirby.
Cool all that shit is.
That's it's great. Like, don't call it Kirby if I'm not Kirby.
Except you are correct. You're explicitly Kirby.
Kirby has arms and legs. It's anyways.
Not in this one. It's kind of a bold new vision. And so I didn't know that you were. Yeah, it's just you just want to make the same fucking Kirby game over and over and over again. That'll be good.
I want a Kirby game where you suck up a power.
Okay.
And you press the button to use the power.
All right, fine. Here's one from Sam B. Rules, who says, Spill Zone, a motion-controlled FPS where you're holding a very big, very full cup in one hand. The contents of the cup is your health.
This
is really
fucking
good,
owns. And I kind of almost wanted to save it for near the end because it's such a doozy.
We can come back to it. And maybe what I'm thinking of to kind of like abstract it a little bit is a shooter with the same sort of mindset that Smash Brothers brought to fighting games, where it's not just about like killing,
you don't run out
killing.
Of health.
You don't run out of health unless you're playing with the dumb rule set. You're just trying to knock your opponents off balance,
right?
And I'm into that idea as like a shooter. And so we're talking about Attactics, and don't get me talking about Attactics again, because I'll get going.
Right,
I'll get on a roll.
So do Attactics? Do those little figurines not run out of health? Is it a purely you're trying
no,
to knock
there was you, no,
you're knocking
there was no
them
health
off
if
the.
You, Yeah, you knock them. You knock them over, and they're out. And so, like, this idea of a physics-based shooter where...
Oh, this rules.
Yeah, you could have, like, an assault rifle that, like, is a little bit weaker, but you can get at somebody from further away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're just trying to topple them or
this
something like that.
This is fucking cool. We're kind of getting away from Sam's idea, but I'm fine with it because what we
okay, fine. They have a cup then, and the cup has the health in it. I don't know how to represent
that in the game, except
without motion controls.
I actually love this idea of like a sort of a sumo style shooter where the whole level is an arena with big holes in it. And you're trying to. It's like those.
It's the map in Overwatch.
I was about to say.
Where you run in and it's got the big hole in the middle, and then like you see two Lucios on the other team. And you're like, I'm just gonna turn off my PlayStation now.
This is a game where every character, every gun is like Lucio's big old megaphone. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. That's fun. So, like, and then you can have a utility that you change out, right? So your loadout is your weapon and your utility. And your utility can be like magnet boots. So like you see a big metal plate on the ground, you run over and turn on your magnet boots. And maybe you're good for a little
bit. That's sick. And like, so how about this? How about a shooter where none of the weapons deal damage? It is purely about knocking other players around. So all the grenades are concussive, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of health, there's no health at all. Everyone's invincible. Every time you fall off the stage, it does that thing in Human Fall Flat. Have you ever played that?
No.
Okay, Human Fall Flat is like What If Gang Beasts was a single-player puzzle platformer.
All right.
And in that, every time you jump off the level, you just fall for like 5 seconds, and then you land on the level again.
All right.
From the sky. I would love a shooter where every time you fall off, that happens, and you like lose a point or something. And
yeah, that's sick.
Like, it's all, the entire thing is, it's one continuous life. You never die. You just, when you get knocked off, you land back on the playing field. So there's no loading. There's no waiting to respawn. It's a pure knocking characters around experience.
I think that playing Splatoon 2 as much as I have has sort of got me thinking about shooters with unique like win conditions. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk about Splatoon 2 for a little bit and be a video game podcast for a second, because I think it's one of the I think it's one of the best fucking games of the year, and like I think it's near perfection. We should talk about the Nintendo Online app in a second, but I think that the like I want to say like 90% of the games I play, and it's not because I'm a sick shooter. It's because that's not what the fucking game is about. At least not what the standard mode is, Turf War.
Yeah.
Where all I do is, if I see somebody, like, yeah, I'll try and fuck them up. But most of the time, I just go where people aren't, and I just paint.
It's so good.
That's it. And you win, because nobody understands. Everybody's going for a fucking KD ratio. I see somebody sniping and just like hanging back. It's like, okay, enjoy your loss. I'm just gonna paint the world with my beautiful colors.
What are you using? What's your weapon?
I was fucking with the machine gun for a while, the Arrow Splat, but now I use the Zapper 85. It looks like the NES Zapper, which cute. Is very, very cute.
That was they added that to Splatoon 1 in a patch, I think. What does it shoot like? Is it?
It's nice, man. It's got like, it's really just like really middle of the road. But it's a very reliable like painting weapon. The Arrow Splat, the machine gun, is just like you can just run and hold in the button, it's, and you will
amazing.
Just Jackson Pollock all over.
It runs out of ink really
place.
Fast, but it's like, it's so, it's just the amount of coverage you can do with the Arrow Splat. I was using the Arrow Splat for a while. My mains are the Splat
dualies. Yeah.
Dualies are sick. Like when the Splatoon embargo lifted, I was like, I wonder what other people, like other YouTube folks with Splatoon 2 are doing. And I looked at a video. I was like, no, you know what happened? I was in a match with a guy with an interesting name. And I was like, clearly this guy's an early copy because I'm playing it with him. I'm going to search for him and see what he does, because these lobbies are interminable since there's so few people have copies.
Well, they'll be better now.
Yeah. Now that the game's out, it's better. But I looked this dude up and he had done a video. God, I wish I remembered his name. That was like a high level Splatoon 2 technical play video where he was showing off that when you do that, you know how the Splat dualies have that little dash mechanic when you jump while shooting? If you do that in midair, you do like a drop dash straight down. And on Moray Heights now, when I'm using the dualies, I jump off and I just hit B twice and just shoot straight. I'm like the first person to reach the middle of the level that way. It's so cool.
Nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about, because this game is out today. It is fucking exceptional.
Yeah.
It is a
found a roller that I like, which never happened in Splatoon 1. Yeah. The carbon fiber shit. Because, dude, if you like painting, pick that thing up, Griffin, because it goes so fast. Okay, anyways.
I do want to talk about the Nintendo Online app, because it sounds like the most Cool Games Inc. way
it's embarrassing.
I got a text from you yesterday. I guess you saw me playing Splatoon 2 online, and it was a link to your Nintendo Online chat session, which I love. That's how that works.
Yeah.
You sent me a fucking SMS text message to chat
to lounge.nintendo.com/ this ridiculous string of letters.
And what I do? I fucking ignored it, Nick, because, come on.
You know what? I would have invited you in-game, but you literally can't send invites to people who haven't downloaded this shitty app. Like, I saw you on my friends list. I was like, oh, I think I'll play with Griffin. And it was like, this person does not have the app installed. And so, therefore, we can't communicate with him, period.
And just picture this. We're chatting, and then we're you know, having a good time, coming up with all these, you know, high-level strats to conquer the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a text from my friend David, switch over to that, and we're gone.
Yep, can't hear him. Can't hear each other anymore. Just for people who don't know, Nintendo is designed, what I have to imagine is the only voice over IP iPhone app in the history of human existence, where if you leave the app, if you hit the home button to go read
a
text, if you open Twitter, if your phone goes to sleep, if you lock your phone instinctively like you do with every other app, your friends vanish and they can no longer hear you and you are kicked out of the voice chat until you unlock
all I gotta
it
say is how much for that subscriptione, my friend. Nintendo, hit me up and tell me how much to get that. Please.
Maybe that's the reason they're charging for it, is because they had a dollar to work on the online for the Switch, and that's what this is. That's what this app is. They spent a dollar making it.
Let's come back to this Spill Zone app
idea. It's pretty sick.
I'm kind of into it.
Here's one from Apricot Ghost, who says, the player is a vampire and must constantly outrun the sunrise on a spherical game world.
Okay. All right, I'm into this. So you're just like, you got Daybreak at your back. And you got to keep moving, but there's probably like walls and, you know, Belmonts in your way.
Lots of Belmonts. You watch that Castlevania cartoon, buddy?
It's fucking good.
It's real good.
Yeah, you're just running. There's little obstacles. And then is the vampire like really sexy?
Yeah. I mean, it's a vampire, so I've never seen a non-sexy vampire.
Has there been a non-sexy vampire?
I'm thinking
Is Batman a vampire?
I think he sucks blood, but he's not a vampire.
All right. It's just when you... Oh, I get... Because he's wealthy. Once you're wealthy enough, you do...
You just start... You convert.
You get to enjoy that.
It's acquired taste.
Let me hit you with this addendum.
Mm-hmm.
What if Boktai style... It's a cartridge that has a fucking solar panel on it.
Okay.
And you actually do have to, like, keep it out of the sunlight.
That's interesting.
It's sort of a reverse
Boktai. I would be way better at that game than regular Boktai. Because Boktai, I was, like, trying to play a fucking Game Boy Advance in glaring direct sunlight, which is fucking literally impossible.
Yeah.
But this would encourage the opposite, right?
Yes. You please don't go outside.
How do we make sure people don't just, like, put tape over the shit.
That will make the cartridge extremely hot. It'll melt through any tape or finger that does touch it.
Okay. Maybe this would be like also a good like the thing you said about obstacles got me thinking that it would be fun if like level one, you're just on an orb and you're trying to outrun the sun and it's like kind of a pulled out perspective. God, that's a big bumblebee. Go away, guy. I'm trying to do jokes.
Uh-oh.
He's thick.
Thick like
THICC. Yeah, okay. He's kind of God, I have my headphones on and I can still hear him buzzing. If you touch me, I swear I might have to.
Are you okay? Go get the assault gun.
The bug assault? The thing is I never know where it is. Like it's usually like under my couch or something weird. By the time I get it, the bug has wizened up to my plot and has hidden.
We have a fly problem. It's weird. Like I have a bunch of friends also here in Austin who like we just have flies. Like there's a bunch of flies all of a sudden in our house.
Yeah.
I went to the store, bought me a dust buster. I'm running sort of a no-kill shelter.
Oh god,
for
they're
these
all
flies.
Interesting.
So I suck them all up and I let them outside.
Oh, that's nice. That's generous.
Here's a just really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Todd Howard fan 69 says, a game that psychologically profiles you like Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which is great.
Fuck yeah.
But instead of trying to figure out your fears and scare you, its goal is to make you as horny as humanly possible. That's Overwatch again. You did Overwatch.
We've done Overwatch, so we keep accidentally making Overwatch. Overwatch does have something for everyone. You want a big old gold fist? Sure.
Love it. Love it. Here's another one, though, from Sam B. Rules, and I like this one.
Mm-hmm. Another Sam B. banger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like Reddit title. I don't know how you get these. I do not use Reddit very often. Is certified slappers only. And yeah, if the shoe fits.
I think that might have been something we said at some point.
Probably. Uphill battle. Very vertical, team-based mountain climbing survival game. Work together to fix lines, preserve oxygen, and carry supplies.
Suppositories/
sabotage enemy teams. Plus avalanches. Okay.
This
is
good.
Sick as fuck. You know that sequence in Brothers, A Tale of Two Boys, where you have to like hold down the triggers to like hold on to the rock while the other one like swings off you? I'm imagining like those maneuvers happening while another team is trying to climb the fucking aggro crag. And yes, in my mind, this did just become a Guts game.
It is.
And like you can run over to fucking, you know, pull out their pitten, I think is how it's pronounced, or like yank out some piece of vital equipment, or like unhook some carabiner,
which didn't happen that much in Guts, surprisingly,
or in Brothers Tale of Two Boys. But I like this idea. I like the idea of just like, hey, like the instead of it being a fucking canned Uncharted 4 animation of like, brother, take my hand and mm-hmm. I will lift you on top of the big crate for the 200th time. It's not canned. It's just like there's a drop arm button and then you can grab that big arm.
Some tense moments. That would
but
generate.
Then there's also like snuggle for warmth. I think there's like a day-night cycle, and it lasts like, it's real fast. It's like 5 minutes. And so like, you got to find a place to hold up for a while, snuggle for warmth, make sure you got food. Maybe you go steal the other team's food.
During the night?
Yeah, if you get like a loadout that gives you like heavy, heavy, you know, warmth gear, then you can run over, raid their shit.
Yeah, you could spec in the direction of like a very quiet, stealthy, well-padded, energy drink chugging, sleepless stealer, you know, who rolls up on the other team and just ganks all their goodness.
And maybe there's a lot of teams. Maybe there's like 50 teams of two, and the mountain is steep. It's literally the mountain from Steep. It's
they did say very
huge.
Vertical.
And so, like, and everybody starts at a different point, like 50 different base camps all around the circumference of this mountain, and then tries to carve a path up. And it's like a race, because if you can get to the top, you can execute strategies like unhooking people's equipment or like breaking off like equipment that was left behind, like things that are built into the mountain. You can just like fuck up somebody else's thing to like slow them down. But that's going to slow you down. And maybe there's another team that's going to keep going up.
You know what would be really sick is if there was a mechanic where like your teammate has died, has fallen off the mountain. The Nana to your Popo has tumbled down the mountain, and you encounter an enemy player, and you see their hand slip, and they start to fall, their fingers are struggling.
Man.
You reach out and save them, and all of a sudden, they're your teammate. And like there's sort of this dynamic, sort of like the Kane and Lynch 2 multiplayer had that, like, I don't remember what it was called, but there was like you could constantly start and break alliances. Like, I want there to be a dynamic sort of shaky team camaraderie vibe.
And then you get three quarters of the way up the mountain, right? And out of the 100 people that were playing, we're down to like, you know, 15. Mm-hmm. And you're up like three quarters of the way up the mountain. You just get over a clearing with your teammate climbing up behind you. And you see in the distance a solo player, and they've got a bunch of shit. They got two oxygen tanks. They got like a whole satchel full of MREs. They've still got their tent, and the tent has 100% durability still. Maybe they got like a little portable TV so you can like watch some Everybody Loves Raymond or something. Mm-hmm. And your teammate, you know, just some rando you picked up because your buddy died. They're not looking so good. So what do you do?
Oops.
You take out that knife. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops, I slipped. And then you run over that other person. What's up? I see you got MREs. I just murdered my friend for you.
I traded him for an MRE.
You want to keep going? You want to keep pushing up? Let's go. Come on. Trust me.
You don't need both oxygens.
And will they? They obviously need a partner, right? They're not going to get up this mountain, but they just want you to murder someone,
right? So they might not. They might sort of have you go ahead of them because they don't quite trust you.
And I also think this could be a trap. Like your buddy just hides, and you're like, "Hey, I need a teammate. You want to come up the mountain with me?" And they say, "Sure." And then you just push him off the fucking mountain.
Yeah,
I think there's no. I don't think you can attack with your axe. I don't think you can like shoot him with a gun or anything. I think you can push though. I like this idea a lot,
really,
especially
good.
The shifting alliances thing.
Yeah, that's because it's already a tense situation, but then when nobody can be trusted,
yes.
The higher you get on the mountain, the
and
less you can trust
up,
everyone.
Even though it's duos climbing, only one person can be up at the top, my friend.
God, and so the question is not if they betray you, it's when.
At some point, someone's getting betrayed. Even if you bring your OG buddy from the base to the top, once y'all reach the summit, you're having yourself a push party.
It just turns into that Mario Party minigame where you're sumoing each other off of a small circle. Girog1 suggests that a good name for this would be Tony Hawk's Uphill Jam.
I don't think that's a good. I think Uphill Battle is a much, much better name for so many. Well, I don't want to get Tony. I don't want
to. Well, then fuck Tony.
Send Tony any residuals.
No Tony. It's It's very vertical. It's Barry Vertical's Uphill Jam. That's the name. We're creating our own Tony. Our own Tony. His name's Barry, and he's the mascot on the front of the box. Barry Vertical.
Bony Rock's Uphill Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Vertical. Why can't it just be Barry Vertical?
Because we it's just it sounds more like a name.
What about Vince Verticals Uphill Jam?
Vince,
you got to give me some alliteration, and Vertical's not a word.
It's not a word. It's a name, Griffin. His name's Barry Vertical.
Barry Vertical's every flavored bean.
Bernie Barry Vertical Bots every flavor uphill jam. Yeah, let's put a pin in this. Would you like
to? We got a lot of good ones.
We do. It's off to a good start. I think we should take a quick break to talk about ZipRecruiter for a moment.
I think that would be a sound strategy.
Strategy. Griffin, are you hiring?
No, I'm firing. So.
What's funny about that?
I'm gonna need you to. I wouldn't do. I don't. This isn't fine. I wouldn't fire you, Nick.
Don't fire me.
No, you know I wouldn't do that to you, right?
I hope not. But you did a joke about it. Now
I'll try again. Yes, I'm hiring two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And one is for business manager.
Okay.
And the other one is for jumping coach.
Okay. Well, I'm uniquely qualified.
I'm working on just sort of increasing my vertical leap.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the first one.
Okay.
I am very qualified. You know what I like to tell people is I like to say I put the businessman in business manager.
I'll be honest, my priorities right now are more in the jumping.
Jump
coach,
oriented. So, you're hiring for a jumper.
So do you want to take another run? Do you have any like jumping? Like what? How up can you get? Like
I can. Let me think about this. Yeah, sure. I'm very good. I'm an expert at jumping. Up, down.
How far have you made it on an American Ninja Warrior City Qualifiers training course?
Well, I built my own.
Oh, you're one of those.
In my living room. Yeah, but
it's not a great place for it. Most people do it in the backyard and stuff.
No, in the living room. It's up to spec, though. I took all the measurements.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. Yeah. That's why they're different. Because unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter, they don't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Mm-hmm. Hunts them down viciously. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just under 24 hours. That's one.
Who's that guy? Who's that guy from Batman who really... Deadshot. They're like Deadshot, but for hiring.
So there's no juggling emails or calls to your office. You just screen and rate and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by all of the businesses of all sizes.
A bold claim.
To find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free.
Well, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/games and
use it for free?
Use it for free.
Damn it. Which one are they going to do? Because mine is ZipRecruiter.com/games. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/games. Okay. So, huh.
Well, if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/games, send a screenshot to Twitter.com/CoolGamesInc, and in the text message field, either write the letter G for Griffin or the letter M for me, Nick. And that way we'll know which person you recruiter did from. What other computer games did you know that there's a game idea here from Frank the Pony, who says once you pop you legally can't stop?
Oh no.
So it's sort of a Pringle dystopia.
Yeah.
Where if you open a can of Pringles, you are obligated by law
to eat all of
to eat every Pringle.
Can I ask?
Mm-hmm.
If I finish the canister of these crisps,
yes,
may I stop, or do I need to go immediately get another canister?
Let me plot this out for you on a line graph. There's a point, the point where you take the lid off and then you rip off the aluminum thing. Mm. That point, in legal terms, is the point where you pop. Any point after that on the line graph, you can't stop. Do you understand? So once you have popped, you are not allowed.
Well, that sounds like a terrible curse.
It is a bad, yeah, it's a bad system. But
so I slam all the big chips, and then obviously there's just crumblings inside. Because I've never gotten a Pringles can that was not at least 1/5 crumblings. Although I'm not complaining because I do enjoy shotgunning those at the end.
It is fun to kind of drill a small hole in the side and then just
take the lid off the canister upwards,
and slurp them in.
And I received the Pringle Man's good gift.
Now, you ever drink your Pringles?
I don't want to explore this with you.
This is a big thing back in my hometown, where what you would do is you would take a can of Pringles and you would pour some, not hot, not piping hot, but like warm out of the sink water into it, and you shake it up. You shake it up, and then you suck it down. And it's got kind of...
We should mention here that Nick grew up in a place called Slime Town, the sewer city.
Yeah.
And everybody there was just sort of a weird monster.
It was a goop-oriented thing. Like, you could go to Slime Town City College for non-slime-related majors. Like, you could do that, and there were people who did do that. But, like, that's not the majority of people. Like, 90% of people there were there for some sort of slime endeavor. And a lot of us at the parties and stuff, we wouldn't drink beer. Every once in a while, you would like find an old...
This is worse than beer. This is much. You understand that, right? This is worse than any drink or drug, or this is maybe one of the worst things a human
One of the best experiences is that there was no alcohol. It was a dry county, but it was also a wet county in terms of what we were doing to our Pringles. And
it's a slime county.
It's a slime county as well. If sometimes though, you'd be like rooting around behind your desk trying to find your slime bong, and you would uncover an old can of Pringles that you'd wetted up and forgotten about, and it had kind of fermented to make kind of a sort of a potato soju alcohol situation. And that was the closest we ever got to drug and alcohol use in our dorm.
Well, that's very wholesome, but at the same time, not at all wholesome. Not at all wholesome.
Do you know the weird thing about that story?
What's that?
It's true.
No, I know. I know. I know. Like, I feel like at this point, I know your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't know you as the boy who bought a very big Cheeto once on eBay and also not believe that you used to make Pringle slurry and dump that down your slimy gob.
Mm-hmm. Do you want another idea?
Yeah, please.
Milligen says you wouldn't download a house, and then they've posted an image of one of those little iPhone USB-A to wall adapters with a flash drive put in it. So it kind of it's a sort of a shocking image. It almost gives the appearance of someone downloading a house. What do we think about that?
I it's a funny image. I just don't know how to build on the jokes there.
I guess like Nintendo keeps doing this thing with their amiibo support in games where they don't do shit at all.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest offenders, in my opinion, is the stupid thing they do where it's like in Splatoon 2, you can save your costume and your controls to an amiibo, like your whether or not you have motion controls on and what clothes you're wearing. But like, that game doesn't have any fucking split screen. There was literally no local multiplayer.
It's so heartbreaking. What?
Which, but yeah, A sucks, because Salmon Run split screen would be amazing. But B,
Rachel and I sat down last night, and she was like, "I want to play this Splatoon 2 game with you that you've been playing." I was like, "All right, here we go." We didn't go.
No, nope.
We didn't.
Here we go to Walmart to get another Switch.
We stopped. Yeah.
But fucking, like, what is that? Like, why does that feature exist? Like, why would you want to save your Splatoon 2 loadout if you can't fucking bring it to a friend's house and play it there? Just bring your Switch. Anyways, the point I'm making is that I want to save my house's loadout to a flash drive by plugging a flash drive into the power strip under my bed. And then I can bring my specs over to my buddy's house, and then maybe we can duel our houses.
I think we've made a dueling houses game a la Rocket Slime.
We do. I think like in the grand ranking of things we do a lot of, it goes food games, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds clones, and then house-based combat. So maybe we set this aside.
We haven't done a fucking cooking game in a minute.
Yeah, but that's through self-control.
Here's one from Sam Sweet. Minton. It's like badminton, but less bad. It's just okay. Be careful not to make good minton.
Okay, it's neutral.
I think I would be okay. I think okay mitten would just be badminton, where if the shuttlecocks just wouldn't dissolve after four hits.
Okay.
Chris Plant got a badminton set, and we set up the net in his backyard because we love yard games. It's like every time we all hang out, and it's Texas, we're like hanging out outside and having some beers. We play a yard game. Usually it's Coob, which I don't know if I've talked about on this show, but it's like absolutely my shit right
Goob?
Now. Coob?
Coob. How you spell that?
K-U-B-B. It's very, very good. I will not get into it unless you want me to.
I kind of do. If in like in less than 30 seconds, what is Cube? All right.
So there's two teams, and you make a field with like these four stakes, and that it represents the area of the field. And on opposite ends of the field, you stack up these five kind of squat wooden bricks. And then in the middle of the field is a big wooden brick with a crown on it, and that's the king. And then you take turns throwing these sort of longer, skinnier sticks, trying to knock out those back bricks on your team, the opposing team's back wall. And if you knock those over, they have to throw the downed ones back into your side of the field. And then before they can knock out your back row, they have to take out those field cubes.
Okay.
And the cycle just repeats.
Got it. I mean, when I was at the beach last week, I spent a surprising amount of time playing beach bocce ball, which is like the perfect, it's such a good game. It's the game design there is phenomenal.
Because all you need is some balls and that's it.
Yeah, and like there was this really fun component. I was playing it with like my brothers and my dad, and like there was this thing that kept happening of like we would throw the target ball into like a very muddy wet part or like a very dry part of the sand, and like some spots it would roll really far, some spots the really sandy dry parts it wouldn't roll at all, and like there was like tactics to it. It was yeah. Cool.
But anyway, Chris bought a fucking badminton set. We worked to set it up.
Yeah.
And literally like one good volley and that shuttlecock was
gone. You can't skimp on the shuttlecock. That's a lesson.
So, okay, badminton is just like invincible shuttlecock.
I mean, if we're taking the bad out of badminton and we're making it less naughty, we got to call the shuttlecock something else.
Something else.
It's got to be called the shuttle.
You know, we call it a flybird.
Flybird. That's cute.
Yeah, that's good.
That's G, PG.
What if we also had cool astro boots that let us jump super high? It's good mitten now.
That's good. See, we did it. We slipped into good mitten.
Shouldn't have added the astro boots.
That's the thing. It's too good. Do you want to do a game idea here? Apricot Ghost. We're doing another Apricot Ghost one. AK Cupid.
What's that?
It's hyphenated. So it's instead of OK Cupid, it's AK Cupid. I'm assuming like a... Maybe I'm misreading this, but I'm thinking it's an AK-47.
Where they date? The guns date?
No, it's Cupid. I kind of like how little there is to go off of. This is just like a one-word submission, but we can kind of interpret it how we want. I'm interpreting this as Cupid has an AK-47 full of love arrows instead of that old-timey chintzy bow and arrow, right?
I think just everybody's going to be dating, Ben.
I guess so.
Because it's just the rate of fire on that would be much higher than a traditional bow and arrow.
Here's an interesting submission from Very Unusual Dog, who has designed sort of a game for us to play. Nick and Griffin will create a collaborative game concept using their subconscious. Without revealing their choices, write down the following. Oh my gosh. All right, this is doozy. So here, right there, I just sent you your noun, number, the things you need to generate, and I'm going to generate mine. And then we'll reconvene here in 45 seconds. Ready?
Yeah.
So I think the way this is going to work is it's going to go your first word, then my first word, then your first word, and then...
All right. My first word is a name. Should I make it possessive?
It will. Yes, it should be possessive. Okay. All right. Ready? Here's our game.
Jerry Seinfeld's...
Unstoppable...
Bathtub...
Colon... The Suffering...
2112.
Game of the Year Edition.
I don't know that Jerry Seinfeld's
Unstoppable
Bathtub, colon, The Suffering 2112 Game of the Year Edition is necessarily... Like, what's so bad with... Why is Jerry Seinfeld's bathtub so...
So The Suffering. So Jerry Seinfeld... I don't know why, but my head immediately went to Jerry Seinfeld in sort of a Richard Scarry like bathtub on wheels. But I guess because it's unstoppable, right? Jerry Seinfeld is in this rolling bathtub going through a town and he can't be stopped. He's a sort of an infinite momentum. He's building speed. He's frictionless.
Yeah.
But where does the suffering come in? Is it like...
He's always suffering, it sounds like. He's always, you know, talking about, you know...
things that bother him, I guess. He's,
you know, the price of stamps or... Something.
Okay. I was worried that we were going to veer into sort of Carmageddon territory where maybe he was running over pedestrians or something.
But I don't know about that. Airplane food.
No, I think it's more observational suffering, right?
Yeah.
Because the heart of comedy is suffering. And that motherfucker is so funny that he's got to be really Really, there's some harboring some just dark pained. Observations as he rides his unstoppable bathtub through the town.
I want to get back to a game.
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but I can't stop thinking about this climbing game. Mm-hmm. And because I have an idea. What if game starts, base camp, and there's 101 players? And before you disperse and go out into all these other base camps, there's like one first camp that you start out in. And when you load in, there's like everybody's frozen in place until everybody's there. And you have different loadouts. So there's like a, you know, ropes loadout that you can use to help you like climb and safely get up a mountain. And then there's like a survival loadout that like has more supplies for the nighttime. And maybe there's like a security loadout that like helps you out if like other teams come for your shit. And so when the game starts, nobody's in a team.
Mm-hmm.
There's just 101 players. And you have to run and just eyeball somebody. You can see what gear they've got and just give them a handshake.
It's
and
like,
there's like a handshake button. And if you both handshake, you're instantly on a team and you get taken somewhere else.
It's like when you're looking around in class and you're given a group project and you're trying to find one other partner. It's going to be that anxiety times 100 every time you play.
And I think that means one player gets left behind. Either that player is like they lose instantly, like the base camp like slides off the side of the mountain, or they get to be the Yeti.
So a fun sort of asymmetrical class. I know someone in the comments on this submission was suggesting maybe a mountain goat class, but I think a Yeti is a little more. It first of all, it taps into the long history of terrifying Yetis in mountaineering games.
Yeah,
there's like a ski free vibe to it, but also just the asymmetry of like your goal is to gobble up as many of these climbers as you can before the end of the game.
I think you don't earn like experience or climber creds if you play as the Yeti. So like to disincentivize people from just like hanging around in the room. And so there's one Yeti, or maybe there's not. Maybe you don't know if there's a Yeti or not. Now we're on some lodge shit little bit. But and then everybody else starts climbing, right? But this person you're with, it's a fucking stranger. And so this idea of you just like turning on somebody is going to be much more prevalent, I feel like. But then I think there's another base camp like halfway up the mountain where this happens again.
Okay.
And there's like another draft round for everybody that's left when you're halfway up the mountain.
I kind of like that. So like sometimes you'll get up there and there's no one else at the base camp right now. Sometimes you'll get up there and there are like eight players who got there at the same time as you, and you're just kind of eyeballing them, trying to see if one of them would be a good fit for you.
What I like about this is I think you can queue up for these games in a party, but you won't be when you get in there. And so maybe you secretly do have allegiances. And so the whole time you're partnered up with somebody, you got to be thinking, is this person just trying to get people cut off? Are they going to kill me right before the second base camp? And then at that second base camp, they'll hook back up with who they actually want to climb with. But they're just like trying to like an 8-person party spawns in, right? And they all pretend like they weren't just in an 8-person party. They each get a partner who they murdered on the first leg.
Right.
And then when they get finally back up to the second base camp, then they can team up
or even
after doing some dirty work.
Like if you decide that murdering them is going to diminish your chances of reaching the second base camp and meeting up with your buddies, you could just be like, hey, can I hold that like that energy drink you've got? Can I hold that rope, that grappling hook? And then when you get up there, you just are like, peace, and then kick them off the mountain.
Yes.
And you've got all their gear.
Yes.
Because I always used to hear these amazing stories of like, of people walking around in DayZ and then like hanging out in a house and being like, is anyone in there? And they're like, yeah, come in, but put your gun down. And then like, there's all sorts of heists and mind games and stuff. And I think like for everything we love about PUBG, which clearly shares some DNA with this game.
A little bit.
Like there's not enough deception or player communication in there for my taste. And I want that. I want, because PUBG did an amazing job of distilling the like scavenging and improvisational elements of like DayZ and Arma mods and stuff. I want a game that does a distilled short 10-minute round version of like the mind games that would that apparently happen in games like that. That's what I want this to be.
I also want there to be some mechanic where if you just fucking cut the line and drop somebody while they're climbing and somebody sees it, there's some way to
like rat them out.
Yeah,
maybe
or
like
conjure the punishment Yeti or something like that.
So maybe we do an expansion where instead of the 101st player becoming a Yeti, they could become like the sort of mountain police who are in a helicopter looking for ruthless criminals. And so like if you witness in someone falling, you could be like, "Hey, mountain police, there is a murderer directly above me at this like waypoint."
You've got like a zoom optics camera. Mm-hmm. And if you see somebody like cut the line, it like puts a little red square around them. And if you target them and like hit a button, when they make it up to the next base camp, they'll be like publicly arrested and walked off in front of everybody else.
Walked off the mountain.
That's
mountain justice right there.
That's some mountain justice, and I'm into it.
This game owns.
I'm into it. I think like a mountain climbing game in and of itself is kind of cool. It's like SSX but backwards.
Mm-hmm. XSS.
XSS.
XSS,
yeah.
But the S is snow. XS snow.
Yeah.
You still like that other name, though, huh? The boring one?
Barry Verticals.
Oh, wait, no,
jam.
I forgot we did that. That's a good name. Barry Verticals Uphill Jam.
Yeah. I like that. I think it's fun, because I think it would also be very, very scary.
Yeah.
I think it would be very, very scary. And also, like, what if there's, like, a axe that you have, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like really heavy, so it occupies like a lot of space.
Yeah.
And so if you see somebody with that axe, you know they don't trust easily, because mm-hmm. there's like lots of shit they're giving up to have that axe. Or maybe the axe could be hidden or something like that. And so you see somebody and they're like, you got some buddies that you know you're gonna meet up with at camp two. And so like you're right at the top and you're like, guys, watch this. And you fucking cut their line, but then you hear ka-chunk and they like catch themselves on the wall with the axe, free climb up.
Oh, that's so sick.
They free climb up.
Yeah.
Not so fast, I don't think.
I want this game to every round generate moments that feel like a scripted moment from like a Tomb Raider game where you're just like at the last minute you pull out your pickaxe and like save yourself.
Ooh.
I also think it'd be cool because like you talked a little bit, you mentioned the inventory like management being a factor when you're building your loadout. I think there should be a thing where like you have two options with every item. You can either hang the axe from your belt loop, which takes up way less space, weighs you down a little, but doesn't
or
take you into space.
Or hide it in your backpack.
Or hide
so
it
they
in,
don't
like,
know.
In your jacket, it takes up 2/3 of your slot, but you're a secret axe wielder.
And maybe at camp two, right, everybody has to find a new teammate, and so we get the same sort of, like, pick your partner, nobody's in a team, and then you get in it. But what if, like, the last, like, 5 to 10 people to get picked all die instantly? And so there's an element before the drafting starts where you're like, okay, fucking blunt climber 420 over there tried to cut my line, but I caught myself with an axe. So you do not want to team up with that piece of shit. And you like, there's like a werewolf style like
misinformation
phase. Ooh. Or maybe it's not misinformation. Maybe they tried to fucking kill you, but you could do that. You could certainly.
You could lie or tell the truth.
And what this would boil down to is 50 people in a chat all screaming.
Right.
Which would probably be sonically unpleasant.
But it would be ludonically pleasant.
It would be very good.
That fucking rules. I love the idea of like in the base camp, like there's no law. People are trading items and doing what they want, picking new partners, accusing each other of murder, and of course issuing mountain justice.
I love it. I think it's really, really good. Maybe when you clock into the base camp, you have an option to give your former partner, like, to as a good sportsmanship bonus, like, maybe they get an extra thing, like an extra MRE or something like that. And so, like, if two people really did work well together, they're like, okay, now you have an extra thing. And so there's, like, kind of a...
There needs to be some motivation to actually cooperate at times, right?
Yeah. I think this is a good one.
I think we made a good game again.
Yeah. You want
to
wrap up?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Barry Base Camp, Barry Verticals Uphill Jam.
Uphill Jam.
It's a hell of a name.
A hell of a name. It's a hell name.
Hell of a name, hell of a game. We just posted, at the time we're recording this, I think it went up yesterday when you're hearing this, the third episode of Let's Go to Hell. This time it is a conclusion to our Mario Galaxy episode from last time around. It gets very glitchy and visual, artistic are all words I'd use to describe it. And then we got a new episode of Touch the Skyrim Gone Gold going up next week, right? Next Friday?
Yes, it's a bad episode.
It's a bad one, but we did
it's a bad episode in which we do very necessary work to make Skyrim function.
If you find a way to make that episode like more than 90 seconds long, I don't know what type of video surgery you've done to it, but it's happening. So
yeah, I'll be at Comic-Con this weekend.
Say hi, cool.
If you want, and then I'll be on Midnight next week.
That's Midnight. Very exciting.
It's very exciting and very weird, but very, very, very cool. Go to Polygon. Go to youtube.com/polygon. Just watch all our videos. There's a lot of really good stuff in there.
Oh, shit. Also, we need to...
Oh, my God.
We need to plug the Clayton thing, right? So
yeah, next week's Cool Games Inc. is a dream fulfilled.
So good.
Me.
One of my favorite moments, the Miitomo Tinder one from like a week or two ago, is getting the Cool Games Inc. animation treatment. Clayton sent us a test animation of it, and it was... mind-bogglingly
so
good.
Choice.
And it's also Clayton's 1-year anniversary of working at Polygon coming up. So
I do not know how we live without him.
It's incredible. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. This has been Cool Games Inc., a video game design podcast, part of the Vox Podcast Network, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Well, do you want to? Why don't you start the outro thing?
Oh, the outro thing that we do. Well, it's like we say every time. You know, it's
next time. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick McElroy.
There it is.
Shit, you got me. You did it again. No problem, fun.